You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.
You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at WeAreLibertarians.com.
Hog of Liberty podcast. This is episode number 261 of East Central Indiana's favorite podcast. I'm Jeremiah Morrill. Today I am joined by executive video producer, audio engineer, Zach Burcham, my forever co-host, Dakota Davis, and
today's episode features, Hunter, what's your last name?
It's Kirk.
K-R-K. Hunter Kirk. Jeremiah spent a weekend with Hunter at Mid-Ohio, right?
Yes.
The race.
The most county park style motorsports course in all of North America.
Jeremiah thought that he was too interesting to not have on the podcast, so here you are, and we're looking forward to it. We're going to be talking today about the Indy 11, the soccer team in Indianapolis is building a stadium. The DNR has made some changes, made some relaxed rules. Basically, they're taking away some rules that they had for DNR properties. And then we're going to give you a little update on the special session that we talked to Mr. Tom Saunders about. And at the very end, we're going to be telling Hunter why he should move to beautiful Henry County, Indiana, since he has the option.
You'll notice that Hunter, when you hear him speak, he sounds like he's from Western North Carolina.
Sounds like all of my dad's side of the family. Who lives in Sparta, Tennessee.
That's not too far from me.
There we go.
that's just south of Cookeville.
Yep.
This show is about our lives in rural Indiana. We're here to push your boundaries and make you think as individuals. Sometimes we'll provoke you. Other times we'll make you laugh. But hopefully you will always learn something new. We just did a spectacular 25 minutes in Patreon. I will give you all a word of advice. If you are a member of the Patreon group, you're going to get an email tonight with the pristine audio file sent directly to you. If you try to go back and listen to it on Facebook, there's a bit of a hum. But spectacularly, Zach Burcham has returned from the beach, and now the audio sounds great. But the Patreon was we were fixing it on the fly. So our apologies for that side, but it's going to be good.
That's right. Patreon.com/BossHogOfLiberty. That's where you can go to support the show every month. That is where you go to donate on a monthly basis. We appreciate those folks. They help pay the rent around here. We need to keep pumping those numbers up. Inflation's kicking our butt in every way. So we need to make sure that account stays fat and we can keep doing the show for the long term. We just signed a 3-year lease, so we're in it for the long
haul.
We
are here for a very long time. It is that lease is more binding than a contract with Chip Ganassi Racing.
That's right. You guys have to help us out. If you donate at $50 or more a month, then you get a shout-out at the front of every episode. Those folks are Christy Avery, Mr. Jonathan Phillips, and then, of course, our favorite over-the-road trucker, Mr. Anthony Meyer. And we wanted to give a shout-out really quick to Jonathan Phillips, who you guys have heard. If you've been listening to the show for a while, you've heard his name at the front of almost every episode. His daughter was involved in an accident, had to be flown in a helicopter to the hospital. So say a quick prayer or send out some good thoughts towards Jonathan and his family, because that's scary.
His daughter Morgan I think she's actually, John posted an update today that she's actually getting some hand surgery, multiple injuries. It sounds talking to some folks, it sounds like she's trending in the right direction and things are looking good. But, we love Morgan and John, and I've grown up with Morgan's entire family. Her great grandfather was my 4-H leader. I've known the Phillips Rothenberger and Kassane family for 4 generations. So, love all of them. And it's, I'm incredibly thankful that, they got good care, and we'll pray them through this, from here to there.
But also on the Patreon side, patreon.com/BossHogOfLiberty, or you can go to BossHogOfLiberty.com and click the support now button. And, What you get if you sign up at Patreon, then you get access to our secret Facebook group, and that is full of exclusive content. We'll post pictures in there. Anthony Meyer makes memes. He posts them in there. So there's a lot more interaction in that group. We're not really that active on our Facebook page anymore because Facebook kept throttling us, but we are active in that group. So if you miss the page, then you want to sign up at Patreon.
It's a fun community. You've got some art. You started a new campaign this week.
I did, yeah. Well, you know, based on last week's episode, I am now running for the official pie taster for the Henry County 4-H Fair. Anthony's thing said my campaign slogan is, "I've eaten a lot of pie, super qualified." So, yeah, that's good. And then we also post our show notes before every show. And that is so that you can follow along. We also have include the links so that you can see where we pulled the information for the stories, and you can share those as well. And just makes it a little bit easier. And then also sometimes we just send you gifts in the mail.
Yeah, just random, fun, unsolicited excitement.
If you give your address on Patreon, that is.
All right. So there's a link posted by Zach. There's some merch out there. You want T-shirts, you want hats, you want koozies. I don't know. What do we actually have out there? Coffee cups, coffee mugs.
Sure.
In case there's you want a
there is a coffee mug that's super cheap that we don't make any money on, and it's pretty cool. It's a color-changing coffee mug. It's like $6, I think.
Hunter, can you say color?
Collar.
Okay. I'm outnumbered tonight, Zach.
Mm. It's that Sparta, Tennessee blood.
Christy reminds us that you get T-shirts and bow ties. Throw that T-shirt that's hanging up there on the deer over. Zach, that you've got, toss that over and let Hunter take a look. This is the kind of thing that our fans get. Christy Avery got one in the mail. This was a shirt Zach's muted.
Yeah, they bought those for us.
The guy wore these after I came back from New York in June. I brought back some Watkins Glen swag for the guys.
I'm still pretty upset. I ordered some Joey gear about 2.5 weeks ago, and it still ain't, you know, got delivered to my house.
Takes a long time to get from
supply
China.
Supply chain issues, man. Supply chain issues.
Joey told me I'd have it in a week.
I had mine in no time. I had mine within a week and a half, 2 weeks, I had it.
So upset.
Bait and switch, man. Bait and switch. That's all right. We'll have you on another time. You can wear your Joey shirt in.
Let's talk about the Indy 11. Have you been following the Indy 11 at all? Are you a soccer fan, Jeremiah?
Do I look like a soccer fan?
No.
I am a sports fan.
Maybe Josef Newgarden is.
And a a major league sports fan. Kids have played youth soccer for ages, and professional soccer has gained ground. Indianapolis has tried to get a major league soccer program, and it hasn't happened. What they do have is the Indy 11, which is, I think, the second or third tier down. So it's kind of like AAA baseball, but I think in soccer, programs can move up and down. So if you have success, you can actually move to the next level.
So it's not like baseball.
No, they get relegated or promoted or whatever inside of leagues, and they can move around. So this club has been playing for about 5 years in Indianapolis, 4 or 5 years. And the owner of the program, of the soccer club, has been trying to get a permanent stadium ever since they came to be.
Right.
Their first two seasons, I believe, they came in and they were filling up the IUPUI soccer stadium. Very successful, filling it up. And they said, we need it. So they went to the state legislature and said, hey, build us a stadium. They proposed it. They did the whole thing. And they said, yeah, I don't think so. We're not giving soccer money for a public stadium to you guys right now. So they said, okay, fine. So they went to the Capital Improvement Board in Indianapolis, and they played a couple of seasons in Lucas Oil Stadium. No matter what, it's not their fault. They're not going to fill a 65,000 square foot.
Right.
They're a 65,000 seat
stadium
for a minor league soccer team. It's way too big.
Right.
So they want to right size it, and they want a building of their own. It's really expensive to build
right now.
So they want to do a 20,000 seat stadium. In between the minor league baseball stadium and Lucas Oil.
Right.
It's proposed with a $1 billion price tag on a public-private partnership.
Right. And I heard that $1 billion, and I thought that was insane for just a stadium. There is a little bit more than just the stadium that's rolled into that $1 billion. I don't know if you've seen the plans. We linked it in the show notes. You can see the plans there if you're a Patreon member. And it's actually, it sits on a 20-acre parcel in Indianapolis. They're going to have to tear some stuff down first. But there's also going to be like a plaza slash park area and for like venues and stuff. And then there's going to be apartments, a hotel. I think those are in the same building. There's going to be like long-term tenant places and a hotel in the same building. And then there's going to be two retail spaces that are two separate buildings that face the street. So there's going to be a lot that's put into this, including the stadium. So it's not just a stadium that's costing upwards of $1 billion, which makes that price tag a little bit easier to swallow.
It's all in the details, right? Everybody likes investment. Everybody likes buildings going up. But it's when you have a billion-dollar project, how much of it is actually going to be the responsibility
right.
of the taxpayers, of the people of Indianapolis, of the people of Indiana to pay for it? So I'd want to see the details. It's a good, you know, if they're going to exist, they need a permanent place to play. But you've got to, it seems to me like they made their announcement and everybody's, you know, there hasn't been a public discussion about it. Every time that the stadium project has come about, it's died really quickly. And it's always been, hey, we're going to the state asking for money. Well, the General Assembly, we're going to get into it later, but they're not even in session. So the state can't agree to this yet legally. So what's happened? Have different people indicated that they're going to support it? Or do they have a proposal and they need, what elected officials have voted yes for this thing or have said yes to it? That's what I'd want to know.
Right. And well, and they also said in the article that we linked, there is a partnership with the NCAA and the IHSAA. So basically college athletics and then also high school athletics would be doing some stuff in the stadium as well. So I would assume that NCAA, IHSAA is going to be footing some of the bill as well, which is public money.
They're saying that the developer, the owner of the, so there's a company called the Keystone Corporation, which is owned by the same guy that owns the soccer team, Ersal Özdemir. And
that dude's a billionaire, son.
He ought to play for his own damn stadium. essentially what they're saying is, hey, you know, the stadium is a couple $100 million of this. All of the other private investment, the retail, everything else, that's actually going to be the generator that's going to pay for all of the other parts of the project. So makes you sense. Can't just build a stadium by itself, but if you lump all of this together, it's going to pay for it.
I can see that for sure. The only problem
if it's so sound, why doesn't he just develop the whole damn thing himself? Why do you need the city to get involved?
Because he's got to hedge his bets, dude.
Sure.
The only thing I really hear is extra traffic, more construction. You know, I've been up here.
Wait a minute. Some of us are okay with orange barrels.
I've been up here for, you know, a year and a half, and it's not one place in the state of Indiana you don't drive that you are not waiting behind. Construction, traffic. I mean, it's everywhere.
You've always got to work on yourself,
Hunter. I mean, listen, man, the last time we were in Tennessee, in Nashville, which was last winter, that they had a light snow. And people were freaking out. They were closing like live shows.
There was only one.
They were like, maybe the pipes are going to freeze and burst.
There was only
32 one. Degrees outside.
Nashville's a party city, and we went to the place where bachelor parties go. And there was only one key employee who showed up to do her job.
Yeah, it's weird if it's not 65 or 70 degrees down there.
They were freaking out. No businesses had their driveways plowed.
I mean,
pure chaos.
I ain't never seen snow, but you know, a handful of times, you know, it was maybe half inch, you know, but I mean, I remember this winter, I walked outside and there was like 8 or 10 inches of snow. And I was like, what the heck is going on? Like, I had no idea what to do. I had no, you know, I didn't have a snow shovel. I didn't have winter, you know, winter clothes hardly. You know, because I moved up here in the winter. I'm like, what the heck's going on here? I didn't know this stuff happened up here.
Yeah, you didn't have the access to a weather app to say, you know, it gets pretty damn cold. it gets down close to zero.
Yeah,
you ever do any hunting down in Tennessee?
Yeah.
What kind of hunting?
Coon hunting's my favorite.
Of course it is.
Yeah, we've done a little deer hunting. Turkey hunting's kind of, you know, not my style, but I'm a big deer hunter. I love coon hunting.
You ever go squirrel hunting?
I have.
Do you have dogs?
No, my best friend growing up in Tennessee, he actually inherited a lot of land, so we used his dogs and hunted on all his land.
Coon hunting's pretty big here.
I really thought you were going to tell me he inherited some coon hunting dogs. And I'm those
dogs are pretty dang valuable.
Yeah, coon hunting's definitely something I could probably do once a day for the rest of my life. You know, deer hunting a couple times a week, but I like fishing too. You know, been to Puerto Rico a couple times, go down there deep sea fishing, and you know that stuff gets pretty fun down there.
Well, the DNR in Indiana, the state DNR, has made some changes to their rules for public land.
I don't really agree with some of this stuff. It kind of takes the fun out of it.
And, you know, we didn't really talk about this in the show prep, but I happened to see it in the Courier Times today, and I have a funny story that deals with one of these rules, so I wanted to include it. But the first rule that they said that's changing, you can keep a... Basically, if you go into the woods and you have a deer stand or a blind in those public woods, the DNR is going to let you keep it there now. And apparently, you were not able to do that in the past.
So if you put up, you had to haul in your deer stand every time if you wanted one, or you had to
apparently,
shoot off the ground?
Yeah.
Was that the way things actually were going?
See, whenever I was a young man, a teenager,
okay,
a late teenager, my friend and I bought a ladder deer stand together. We also bought a little John boat together. But for the purpose of this story, we'll focus on the deer stand. And we put it out in the woods. Where's that? Hillsboro?
Wilbur Wright,
here in Henry County.
Wilbur Wright, fish and recreational area,
yes.
If you're Googling at home.
And we hunted once. It was a buddy stand, deer stand, ladder stand, and we hunted
like,
once.
Like most
out of
your
it.
Hobbies, you get real excited about it. You go buy the stuff, and
I
then you go do
a,
it
a long
or two.
Time in my youth. The problem is whenever you know you're 18 years old and you're trying to make something of yourself, you don't have a lot of leisure time that you think you have. You have kids, you realize you had a lot of leisure time. But anyway, we used it like once. I used it once. I don't know how much he used it, I should say. And then I went back in the spring and I thought, I'm going to do better this year. And it's...
So you just left it out in the woods all winter.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any identifying markings on it that says, this belongs to Dakota Davis?
No, but we chained it and locked it.
Okay.
And which should be sufficient. There were other people that had...
You weren't the only
one. ...stands out there. Correct. Shoot, I saw a climbing stand just chained to the base of a tree. So, whatever. And I thought, everything goes here. So, I was like, I'm going to go do better. I'm going to squirrel hunt. And I'm going to check on our stand and make sure it's good. And I went out there and the stand was gone. And I'm like, what happened? I know I'm at the right tree because here is my chain with the lock. And it's been cut.
It's been stolen.
So, I'm like, someone stole my freaking light. Like, the thing that was going through my head was, who steals a freaking tree stand out of the woods in the middle of the wintertime? You know, that was insane to me. And then I read this story today in the Courier Times, and I thought, that makes so much sense. No one stole my deer stand. The DNR came out and took it. They said, it's not allowed.
And they said, here's my new free deer stand.
Yeah, so thank God we didn't have any identifying marks. This belongs to Dakota Davis. If found, please call and send
somewhere
to,
north of Q.
Yeah. No, none of that happened.
How do you honestly feel about being able to hunt on public land?
I think it's good. I think it gives a lot of people who, you know, might not otherwise have the opportunity to have that experience or procure their meat themselves.
Yeah, sure. But I'm saying when you spend, you know, say you go to the same, you know, public spot for, you know, 3-4 weeks, you know, 6-8 weeks, whatever, and you're watching, say, you know, a 12 point buck, you know, just say for instance, you know, you're keeping an eye on them, and then, you know, you're out there for 6 weeks, and then somebody else that has the same authority you do to be on that land, but but you've had your eyes on him for, you know, however long, just say, and he kills him. I mean, how honestly pissed off.
That sucks.
That's the same story you hear all the time around here, though. If you got, you know, you've got somebody that owns this parcel or that parcel, and everybody has the same deer showing up on their trail cams, right? Everybody's seeing these same bucks, and then it's, oh, damn it, Matt down the road got him. I, you know, Cade thought he was going to get him, but yeah, Matt got it this year. Because
you can't hunt on public land down there and or down south, and that would probably, you know, bring my stress levels where I'd have to take a week off work if somebody stole a 12-pointer from me. But, you know, I mean, just saying, you know, I don't have any stomping grounds up here, so I don't know anybody that has, you know, 60, 80 acres of land, you know. So it's me. I'm not even been deer hunting or anything up here because I don't think I would have fun on public land.
It's a pretty good time.
Is it?
Yeah, it actually is. I mean, you're obviously going to have more fun if it's private, but there's also some cool opportunities on public land as well. One neat thing about public land is that it's all kept up.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, you know as well as I do, there are some landowners that just, they have the woods.
Yeah.
And that's all that it is. They just own the woods. They don't try to manage the land at all. And that can be hazardous for the hunter, and it can be hazardous for the animals as well. And sometimes those woods can be so dilapidated that deer will avoid it.
Yeah. I mean, you have a point there.
So your public land is always going to be somewhat decently kept up, but there's also, you know, the negatives, and usually public land is public land because there's a lot of different resources, so there's going to be good water sources there usually.
This is the We Are Libertarians podcast network in Dakota.
I'm a big supporter of public land.
Is explaining why public land is better than private land.
I'm a huge supporter of public land, and I'm also a huge supporter of hunting licenses and fish licenses and paying for those to support.
Explain that thought process to people, because this is one that I also share with folks, because there's something called the tragedy of the commons.
I think that conservation efforts are super important. I want to make sure I grew up enjoying the land and the outdoors as a vital part of my entire existence. And it's very, very important to me that stays that way for many generations to come. I think that if we lose sight of what it means to be a person, which is where we came from and who our ancestors were, then it's a huge disservice to not only our own personhood, but can be a huge detriment to our mental health as well.
And the reason
I think that conservation efforts and keeping our land sustainable like that is extremely important.
The reason you have a hunting regulation system is so that you manage your deer populations.
Right.
So that you don't go out and take out every deer in the community and decimate it, but you also encourage enough where you have a county and you say, hey, look, we got a bunch of auto versus deer accidents in Henry and Rush counties, so we want you guys to try to take 6 does this year if you can.
Right.
Or whatever that number is to manage the population.
There's no bears in Indiana. I mean, well, there are some in southern Indiana, but
there are very few threats.
Yeah, there's really no natural predators. There's no wolves. There's
you
nothing.
Got coyotes.
There's nothing, but coyotes aren't going to gang up on a healthy deer, a healthy young deer that can get away because they're fast. We are the population control for those animals.
And Buicks.
Yeah, and that's a problem. But
the same thing happens with fishing, right?
Right.
So I haven't been this year, but I am generally a pretty consistent angler. And I will say that the reason that our lake here in Henry County, Summit Lake State Park, the reason that we have walleye there is because the DNR has a stocking program. They go down to Brookville, they grab the male and the female, they create fingerlings, they stock them in Prairie Creek, which is just 15 miles northeast of here. They'll stock them right in Summit Lake. And the reason why probably 80% of the lakes that have walleye to actually go out and catch is because we have a management program.
Correct.
Have you ever ate walleye?
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
Oh, it's so good.
Walleye and perch are both.
There's actually
both awesome.
A little restaurant down in Acton or Wanamaker, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Wheatley's. Man, it's so good.
A little story, real quick, while we're talking about hunting. Market hunting used to be such a problem. Market hunting is whenever back in the day, people would hunt animals and you could sell them in open markets and you could sell every part of them. It became such a huge problem where people were just going out and trapping and shooting all of the animals that there was almost a mass extinction of white-tailed deer across basically this part of the United States, the Midwest. And I worked with an older man who at the time was in his late 70s, who said that his dad, he can remember his dad having to travel to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan in order to hunt white-tailed deer because there were none in Liberty, Indiana. So in that man's lifetime, he's seen it go from, oh, we can't hunt white-tailed deer to, oh my God, there's too many deer. And that was because of the regulations that were imposed to prohibit market hunting in the United States. That's basically because of FDR. FDR, the whole reason that we want to shoot a big buck is because FDR made it popular. Before, people were just trying to shoot does and anything. More people would shoot does because they taste better, in air quotes.
They were for meat.
Yeah. And FDR is the one who made it popular to try to shoot the biggest buck that you could find. And he did that purposefully because that big buck that you find is usually an older male. And that can be actually be beneficial to the breeding population of deer in an area. So that wasn't even something that was done by regulation. That was the president trying to control the culture and managing wildlife in that respect.
He got me convinced that it's pretty cool.
It's pretty neat. It's very, the history of wildlife management in this country is very interesting.
So the other rule that they've introduced is that you can now put trail cams out on public grounds as well.
Right. You can, just like Hunter over here was saying, you know, now you're going to have that problem where you're seeing stuff come across your Wi-Fi trail cam and going, oh man, right in front of my stand that's been out there for the last 3 weeks.
It's going to be great when you have your trail cam set up and you watch somebody else shoot the deer you were looking for on your on your camera.
You're going to have miserable.
Fantastic 720p of that 14 pointer dropping.
And what makes it worse is they're using your ladder stand.
and then you got video of it and you got, dang it, Cade, you just drug him out of there.
The deer stops to look at your camera and then gets dropped because it got distracted by your camera.
And it's also totally cool now to go harvest antler sheds, so you can go and hunt for antlers, which has always been kind of a big thing. I never realized
that's
that
not was been
legal
allowed
as well. I guess not. The Courier Times article said that it was updated this year and so, effective now.
So they said that I skimmed this article and I was like, oh, DNR rules changed. I'm like, oh God, what are they doing to campers? I looked at it and like, nope, doesn't affect me. I'm moving on. I didn't care.
Yeah.
Didn't have a darn thing to do with the state park camping. I was set.
And also,
it didn't affect fishing. So I was
there's a state park here in Henry County?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Summit Lake.
Yes. Yeah, nice. Summit Lake State Park is here in
Henry County. We're going to get to that in a minute when we talk about the reasons for you to move here.
Sure.
Also, magnet fishing is allowed in public waters now.
Treasure hunting, huh?
Yeah. I don't have you. Do you guys have any interest in magnet fishing?
I've never been. I've heard about it, but
if I'm going fishing,
I'm going to catch a fish.
I'm going to go catch a bass.
I ain't worried about you know, Sandy losing something in the bottom of the water. Yeah. That's too far gone.
The thing I don't care that much.
I've thought about is like all the really valuable stuff that's down there isn't going to be picked up with a magnet.
That's for the people that, you know, you're at the beach and you see them using a metal detector, you know. That's for those people.
It's for somebody. It's not for me.
I have watched some YouTube video. Like, occasionally you'll see I like watching them when they're magnet fishing in rivers in Germany. And they'll pull out some pretty sweet World War II artifacts and stuff.
Yeah.
Then I can see it. I mean, Yorkville Lake.
I ain't never been, and I can't say I'll ever be, honestly.
Didn't somebody pull like a 50 caliber rifle out of the Everglades in Florida not long ago?
Yeah, that happened. I mean, saw that YouTube video.
People find
they're actually cool YouTube videos of these guys that are doing it, but that has to be like one in 100.
If you look under bridges, you'll see stuff all the time. And you see now with in the fishing world, the downscan imaging, and this is one of those things that we probably could have had Devin Guffey on to talk about, but the imaging that you get off of a boat now, if you spend big money, not the $200 crappy Garmin that I have on my Bass Tracker, but there's full sonar, like full 360, you know, side scan imaging, whatever. And hell, they just found a car last year in Geist where it went off. If you look near a bridge, you'll find cars down there.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That's not good.
I even heard
your magnet fishing phone.
IndyCar, IndyCar champ Ryan Hunter Ray, and he does offshore like fishing, and his boat has air radar to detect birds, and they'll see a flock of birds and know that they're down near the water, that they're probably fishing. So he'll go follow the birds. I think he'll catch it miles out.
Look and see.
I think it'll go like miles out. He's one of those guys that probably has a cumulative 1,000 horsepower of boat engine on his boat. But yeah, he talked about that. Like, he'll see like swarms of birds and tell them, "Oh, go this direction," because they're probably looking for fish.
Yeah, in 2020, there was a story posted that a 1987 Camaro that was reported stolen was pulled out of Geist Reservoir 32 years after it went down. So it was underneath the bridge that had been rebuilt. That was the most incredible part of that story for me, is that they had literally rebuilt the bridge.
With the car there.
With the car sitting there, and they didn't find it. But some fisherman found it with his sonar.
Wow.
Insanity.
I just don't have good luck to, you know, find
it. They saw it down there. The builders saw it down there.
And they said, like, not touching this.
Because they're like, if they see it, then it shuts the job site down for 2 days while they investigate and make sure there's not a body
there.
But I know that when I used to canoe as a kid, I don't know if it was what river we were going, but
the Big Blue behind the old Walmart and shopping carts.
I don't think I ever did the Big Blue, but I think it was probably like the White River or something down south. But there were cars and old cars. Like, you're not seeing like, oh, look, there's even like an 80s car. There's like a 32 Ford. Or whatever. Yeah. And they were all strewn along. And she can imagine that's what's along the river. You can imagine what would be in the river.
So the Whitewater River down near Brookville, there are commercial kayaking opportunities down there. I'm pretty sure that back in another era, they used junk cars for soil stabilization. So if you look down the bank, there were all of these old 30s, 40s, 50s cars, and they were just there to hold back dirt so that they didn't have erosion.
It's a rusty car show. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
All right. So real quickly, we will get through the special session.
We're just giving a little update. There's nothing that's been finalized or nothing.
No, they're basically this week the Senate Republicans have said, hey, we're going to put three bills in place. Tom Saunders sat in the chair. Hunter's in 3 weeks ago, our retiring state representative, and maybe 4 weeks ago. And he said, I thought I was done, but they're trying to call us back. And there are three things they're going to deal with. They're going to have a bill regarding abortion because Roe versus Wade was withdrawn. They are going to discuss the reason that they had originally called the special session, which is a tax refund. The governor wants to give every taxpayer $200,
$250? $225.
$225. So if you're a household married Dakota, you'd get do the math there. What, $450?
$450.
$450. And then there's also talk about, because it's become so unpopular in the last 60 days, Indiana not suspending their gas tax but reworking it so that there's a cap, because it. I don't think when they put this in 2017, they basically said, hey, we're going to rework the way we do gas taxes, and they never anticipated $5.50 a gallon gas.
Let's make
gas.
That a part of the Constitution.
You want to put hard numbers in the Constitution?
Just like Mitch did.
For gas taxes.
Yeah.
I think it would like cut it in half, or less than in half from what it currently is. I was irritated.
Well, there's three different buckets to it, right? Like, yeah. It's all in the details, because there's a federal tax, there is a use tax, and then there's a sales tax. So there are three different numbers inside of Indiana's gas tax.
Yeah.
It needs to get fixed.
I was just irritated. I thought that the refund thing was like done. And I was like, I knew it wasn't physically done, but I knew the session was starting on like the 6th. And I was like, oh, I hadn't heard anything about it yet. But I figured, like, I'll be back from vacation, and there'll be a timeline on when that's going to start getting deposited. And they haven't even done it yet.
No, they haven't agreed to anything.
They've had 2 weeks to figure out whether or not they're going to do that or not.
It's all going to get negotiated. And I'm starting to see trade groups are already starting to email people saying, hey, look, this is what they're talking about, but it's a legislative session. We can accomplish anything. We don't know what it's going to be. These are just the first round of ideas. And the Senate has their ideas, and the House has their ideas, and they're going to come together, and we'll see what happens.
I filled up in North Carolina for $3.87, which was not a deal, but compared to Indiana, was a deal, and was especially compared to a deal. They're like, well, we need the money for roads. And again, I made the transition on 70 from Ohio into Indiana, and Stevie Wonder could tell when you cross the straight line, because literally you cross the state line and instantaneously your car is getting rocked by horrible roads.
I got back from mid Ohio and I broke a leaf spring. As soon as I got into Wayne County, I broke a leaf spring on the camper, and I've spent the last 2.5 weeks putting it back together.
Yeah. Half of the time I'm running appointments in, you know, different parts of the state. And, you know, I'm going to say 2 or 3 times a week, I pull over on the side of the road because I think I have a flat tire.
What do you think a flat tire is going to cost? What do you think a tire costs on a 2014 Mercedes?
Well,
what size rims you have on those?
I ain't got to that point to even think about what all that stuff costs.
His doesn't look like they're too awful.
I'm probably 17s.
Yeah, that's better than like 20s or 21s.
But I heard all that foreign stuff's pretty expensive, but I ain't worried about that yet. But I'm worried about when are they going to fix these roads up here in this state?
I bet your rims are cheaper. I bet your tires are cheaper than Chris Galt's on his 200.
They work on it.
Chris Galt. Chris Galt's a pretty good guy. I like him and his dad, Michael. Pretty good people.
Yeah. Our roads are, for paying like 61 cents in gas taxes, our roads are awful.
They're trying.
Can't fix them overnight, man.
I was up in Lafayette the other day. I was heading back.
Wait, what?
Lafayette.
He just smirked.
I was up in Lafayette the other day, and I was headed back, and I pulled over. I thought my tire was flat.
There's a section of 70 I brought up on the show a couple times that every time I towed a camper to Indianapolis, I got to a section. I'm like, your trailer's not coming apart. Your trailer's not coming apart, because it would just it's something about the way it hit my trailer suspension. 3 different trailers, didn't matter, made it feel like it was coming apart every time.
It was like 100 degrees outside. I was mad. I was like, I got a flat. I'm about to change this in 100 degree weather. And I've got a pullover on, you know, I've got a long sleeve on. My God, it was just a road. That's all it was. I mean, it was a sign of relief, but still, it was about half annoying.
Welcome to Indiana.
It's I've said this I to every customer I've met with since I got back from New York State. I have driven from Montreal to New Orleans in the last 75 days. The worst pavement is in the state of Indiana.
Oh, 100%.
I-70 between the state line and Indianapolis is the worst stretch of pavement I have been on.
It's the I-70 on the east side, then the road that connects, you know, what's it up there on the northwest side? Zionsville? Zionsville to Lafayette. That's the worst 2 roads in the state. And 37. 37 ain't bad. It's just construction. You know, my grandpa said it's been construction since the 30s, so that's never going to get fixed.
Your grandpa knows about Indiana roads?
Yeah.
So, tell me, how did you get here?
My mom, we moved up here about a year and a half ago. So, my mom actually was born in Pendleton. So, they just chose Shelbyville, Indiana out of all things, you know. And my cousin actually works for the same company I do. He's just on a different, you know, he's in a different department than I am. So, you know, I moved up here. I finished school at IUPUI, and then I started work with him. And then, you know, my family, they outsourced to Ocala, Florida. And I'm just up here because, you know, just
because you want to live a hard life. You want to experience real winters. You want to live a place where the bugs die in the wintertime.
I don't know. I mean, because
in Ocala, the mosquitoes just keep growing.
About to say the mosquitoes ain't bad up here, but, I tell you what, down in Tennessee, as soon as you get out, there's about, you know, 207 mosquitoes ready to get you. Mm-hmm.
So, are you open to the idea of continuing this Hoosier journey, of staying in Indiana?
I like this. I like this occupation I'm in. You know, pretty grateful for the, you know, opportunity Aaron presented me, and you know, I plan on being with this company for a while. So always
we'll give you a plug here. If somebody has what is it that you do? What do you provide? What service do you provide, Hunter?
We do structural, you know, crawl space, basement, you know, anything really with a home will repair it.
Okay. So any foundation repairs or settled concrete, whatever, you'll come out, take a look and
figure
it out.
Basement waterproofing, you know, bowing walls, anything with a home that needs, you know, fixed or repaired, we'll come out and repair it.
Okay. So you're about a year and a half into living in Indiana.
Yeah.
And you're living on the South Side.
Yeah.
Do you love the South Side?
No, there's about there's probably a day or two down there.
Are you in an apartment?
Yeah, I live in an apartment. Mm. It's just, you know, when I moved up here, there was really, you know, nothing available. And, you know, it's just me. It was just me at the time. And I was looking at, you know, houses, but man, that's too much upkeep and maintenance.
Hey, you got to decide where you want to be too. Yeah. You don't want to move to an area and buy a house 10 minutes in.
I like that Acton area. That Acton area is pretty nice.
The where?
Acton. Right outside of Wanamaker.
Okay.
Right there on 74.
Marion County. Yeah.
Marion County. Right down 74. Just outside of Marion County. That area is pretty nice, pretty country area down there. But if I do touch, you know, start construction here, it'd probably be in Acton if I had to guess. I like out here, though. I drove around the square about five times waiting on you to answer the phone. But, you know.
So you came to Newcastle, and you're in our downtown studio. What do you think of our downtown area?
I mean, it's, you know, cool, calm, collected. You know, I can tell that this definitely ain't, you know, Indianapolis. Don't really have to worry about, you know,
crime as the sirens are just whipping outside.
You know, don't really have to worry about, you know, well, am I going to be the one getting shot today? You know what I mean? Or just, am I going to be somewhere when somebody opens fire? You know what I mean? That stuff just, I know, you know, it. That stuff just, it's crazy nowadays. I don't even want to get into it.
You got to lead. The building owner says we need to take you downstairs after this is over. So you got to, before you leave the building, you get to look at the basement here.
Sure.
You're gonna put on your salesman cap.
You're gonna run a lead. let Aaron know you did something on your day off.
No, actually, this is the first day off I've had during a week since January, so it feels pretty nice.
So, what kind of stuff do you look for in a community if you're going to go somewhere? Is it the hunting ground? Is it the lakes for fishing? What do you say? Hey, this is where I want to be.
How far is it Summit Lake from here?
From right here?
Yeah.
15 minutes.
Ain't bad.
You're sitting between Westwood Reservoir and Summit Lake. Westwood's about 8 minutes away, about 175-acre panfish lake that's electric only.
It has horse trails, a campground, a mountain bike trail, and a 10-mile hiking trail loop.
And then Summit Lake is a couple thousand square mile
square feet.
I've actually, for this occupation, I've been up, you know, Newcastle, Richmond,
yeah.
You know,
what was
it called, Centerville, right outside of Richmond. Mm-hmm. Those people want to actually fix their home, not waste people's time. So yeah. You know, a good area up here to actually for my occupation. You know, I like it over here. Every time I, you know, Richmond's an hour and 45 from my house, but every time I see that, the Carmel and Fisher areas I hate going to, you know. But when I see Richmond, I'll drive an hour and 45 with a smile on my face. I'm ready to go. So definitely.
Richmond's 40 minutes from here, 35, 40 minutes.
Sure. And that's, you know, that's what I drive on average, you know, per appointment every day. But probably a little more than that. But the Acton area, this area, you know, New Pal ain't a bad area. I like the old New Pal area.
New Pal's growing quick.
Yeah. And then Greenfield is, you know, the Greenfield area, it's a little bigger, you know, more stuff, you know, more you know, restaurants, you know, stores in that area. That's not a bad area.
The hidden gem for the Greenfield is actually north of Greenfield, in my opinion. That Maxwell area.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know it, you know, awful well. I've just been there.
Concrete,
you know,
dust in your lungs?
They're a fine customer of mine.
But
I looked at a house in Maxwell when I was gonna have to move, and I pulled up. The owner's car was there, and he had been at home all day, so he had parked it the night before, and this was the next evening, and there was concrete dust all over his car.
I'm not advocating living in downtown Maxwell. I'm saying in that general area.
He was just in the town. Like, it's not like he was right next to the factory.
I mean, what really made y'all choose Newcastle?
So when I ran for county council, I said I live here on purpose, and I do. I was born in New York State, and there's two things. One, there's probably three things. The people are awesome. Really, really enjoy the folks that live here and the relationship you can have, like the small town feel. And everything is super convenient, right? If I want to be downtown Indianapolis to watch a Colts game on a Sunday, I can leave my house and I can be in my parking spot for a Colts game in 45 minutes.
Well, I don't know why you'd go downtown to watch a Colts game.
Well, you're halfway to Cincinnati too.
Yeah, that's right. Here, right? Cincinnati,
so you can go watch your Bungles, and it's not too far from there either, right? I can do my job, and I drove to Louisville today for lunch and came back up, right?
Must like be
I,
nice.
Yeah. I can do that from here, though.
Yeah.
I don't sit in traffic. I live in Newcastle, and I don't get stuck in traffic. I don't deal with the mess of northeast side to southwest side. You know, it's not – I don't have to deal with that life.
I don't think I can remember the last day I haven't been in traffic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just – I'm used to it now, and it's just – I can feel my blood pressure rise every time I sit in traffic.
Yeah.
Our traffic is so light here that we had a semi take out one of our stoplights, and they're just like – everybody's like, it's better. They made it into a four-way stop, and everybody's just like, it's better. And the city might take down all of its actual streetlights, and there's some over here next to us on Broad Street that are
state-controlled.
State. But the city has like three stoplights, and they're like, why do we still have these stoplights? They're not actually better. The stop signs are better. So that's how like the craziest traffic you get
is – we're having a legitimate debate about, do we even need these stoplights anymore?
The stoplights. They're like, not even worth it. And yeah, so I mean, once in a while, if you're out – it's fun actually if you're out in Newcastle like during lunch – this is a town that actually gets out for lunch, and you're like, where are all these people coming from? It's just people out for lunch. But yeah, that's the worst you get is like, oh man, it took me 7 minutes to get across town.
I mean, what made you choose Newcastle?
I was born here. I work in Indy, but I work on the east side, and then the commute's 40 miles and 40 minutes. It's all, and with the exception 70. Of once in a while there's a wreck. Yeah, it's all 70. I like it here. I like the fact that I tell people, I get that you could probably get to some neighborhoods, but like just knowing people, just like, oh, need a plumber? I know a plumber. I don't know a plumber from calling a plumber. I just know a guy who's a plumber, and I know a guy who's an electrician. I know, like, you just know people, and you know they're not going to mess you over.
You have a Rolodex of a network that you develop instantaneously.
And it's just like, it's because I know, like, the guy I know who's a plumber, I run with him. He's a runner. I'm a runner. We go to the track, see him at the track and stuff. So just like, you like know. I went to a meeting today, and everybody that was at the meeting, it was just an unrelated thing. It was like a land bank meeting. And it's like, well, the one guy graduated with his son, other guy, his twins were my brother and I's best friends in high school. And then like, I knew everybody at the meeting. I knew almost everybody at the meeting, just like knew them because it's a small town. So I like that. It's an affordable place to live. Housing prices have gone up a little bit, but like it used to be kind of hard to find a house. It was really easy to find a house under $100,000 a couple of years ago, like 5 years ago before COVID. And so, yeah, it's an affordable cost of living. We have everything you really need. And especially now with kind of like the Amazon thing, you can just order stuff you don't.
With Amazon, you can get your specialty stuff instantaneously. And we are sitting in a studio with gigabit fiber internet available, right? So we're doing a broadcast from a place that would have been an absolute, you know, there would have been no way to do this 10 years ago.
I mean, do y'all plan on Newcastle being forever for y'all? Or
I have no intention of going anywhere.
Sure.
Yeah, every time Dakota goes on vacation, he's that millennial that will be like, we're moving here. he'll look at houses and career builders as soon as he visits a place.
I just look at houses just to see what it's like. I'm like, I wonder how much the houses are here. Like, we did that in Iowa not long ago. We were in Iowa a few weeks ago. I wonder what these houses are like. And it was very similar to like here.
Yeah.
Was that bad?
And the other thing I'll say real quick, Hunter, is that I like to travel. It is an incredible home base. It's a very affordable place to live. Very simple, you don't have to have a $500,000 house to be doing pretty, to be very comfortable here. So you don't have to tie your money up. You can have a very reasonable home, that's safe and great to have all your stuff as your home base. And then we can go out 20 weekends a year and go explore the country.
Yeah.
So that's why we do it. So that's our pitch. As you're deciding where you're going to settle and how this is all going to go down, give Newcastle a shot.
I mean, it's not a bad area. Like I said, it's definitely going to be, if I do, start construction here, which I mean, probably 100% will, probably be east side, definitely not east side Indianapolis, but further east, definitely on this side of the state.
This is the we're only three exits from 465.
Yeah.
A year ago, I'll leave you with this story. A year ago this week, Brian Nichols visited from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, host of the Brian Nichols Show on the Weird Libertarians Podcast Network. He came to a pool party at my house. We had about 55 people at my house for the pool party, probably 25 too many for my house, but we did it. We pulled it off. And Brian visited this town and liked it so much He sold his house in Philadelphia, bought a house here, and they live here. They've been here since January.
Yeah, I mean, I like the fact that, you know, I heard athletics up here is pretty big, and I'm a huge sports guy.
Yep.
I mean, you know, NFL, college football, Go Vols, you know, NBA, you know, all that stuff. I love it, and I heard, you know, just Newcastle, you know, the community's big involved in the sports, and that's pretty cool to me. You know, I mean,
yep.
Regardless, it is high school. It's still, I mean, it's still. You know what I'm saying?
The head coach for IU football is a Newcastle High School graduate. We have Kent Benson was the number two overall draft pick in the NBA. Yeah. He still lives here. He played in the NBA. He played at IU, won national championship there. Been a guest on this show. Who else am I forgetting
Steve
here?
Alford.
Steve Alford is a played in the NBA as well. Won a national championship at IU. And now he's the head coach of the Nevada Wealth Pack. So yeah, there's all kinds of deep connections to Henry County athletics.
Even the gymnasium, there. You know,
world's largest and finest high school arena right here in Newcastle.
We also have the Indiana State Basketball Hall of Fame is right here in Newcastle.
Then we got the go kart track out there where Joseph Newgarden cut his teeth.
That's true.
Yeah, so yeah, Joseph and his family would come up from Nashville every weekend, and this is where he learned how to race. Was right here in Newcastle,
which is where I live, actually.
Yeah,
it ain't Newcastle, son. That's south of 70.
What's the name of the place?
Newcastle Motorsports
Park, NCMP.
I bet you've been over there a lot, haven't you, Zach?
My dad used to volunteer there. My dad used to be a corner worker there, and I had my college open house there. And then I don't know if they still do it. Like, they used to do a Dan Weldon pro-am race, and then. Joseph would have a race here, an endurance race called the RoboPongs. You'll learn something more about Joseph, his family, his dad, and then like a thing that you can play ping pong with yourself, RoboPong, and they would have RoboPong 200, I think. And he would come up, and that was a crazy event. Like, you would see a bunch of IndyCar drivers that come up.
It was an endurance race, and then there were some guys that would actually run it by themselves.
Yeah, and they would have, some of them would be, a lot of like the IndyCar drivers would pair up with like a local go-kart kid that was on that did the stuff there. And so you'd go up to that and see
a third of the field had run in the Indy 500 that year.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Will Power, Dan Weldon, Marco Andretti, then Joseph and Jay Howard was he won that a couple times. I think he was kind of a monster at that. So yeah, that's an incredible event. That's an incredible facility out there that people don't understand, like how much that brings to the community. But yeah,
it's so much fun.
Oh,
what'd you say the population was here?
About 19,000 in Newcastle, 50,000 in Henry County.
Yeah,
somewhere in there.
What other cities are in this county?
Newcastle is the only city. As far as towns go, we have Knightstown, a couple thousand people.
Couldn't tell you what that was.
Middletown.
Knightstown's got the gym where they filmed the movie Hoosiers.
I've watched
the movie. You've seen the movie Hoosiers?
The Hickory Cornhuskers home basketball gym is in Knightstown. Then we have Middletown, which isn't.
Moreland has what is probably the single most interesting town fair you will ever visit.
The Moreland Fair is awesome. It's coming up, everybody. Fair. It's coming up.
When you gotta go up here, they keep saying townships.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I only know Franklin Township. That's the only township.
So every county has townships inside of it.
Sure. What township is this?
This is Henry County, and we are sitting inside of Henry Township. So there's county is divided up into about 13, 14 townships. And sometimes they'll be named after a town that's there. Sometimes they won't. Yeah. So Dakota lives in Spiceland Township, and he actually lives
in the town of Spiceland.
In the town of, just outside the town of Spiceland.
Yeah.
County. But you know, that we have Fall Creek Township, we have Wayne Township, we have Blue River Township, et cetera, et cetera.
Come up in Marion County some, because a lot of the schools are kind of broken down by township.
Right.
So
we don't really do that much here.
Pike High School's Pike Township, Lawrence Township, Lawrence Central. And so, and it's not all like what Ben Davis is Washington Township, I think. Maybe.
I drove by Ben Davis.
So once in a while, yeah. But townships are actually easier to distinguish in Marion County, because that's kind of how they've broken their schools up a little bit. But then mostly here, it's like volunteer fire departments and stuff, and it's kind of hard to figure out which way is which. Like, you just know when you go to a parade, you see all the trucks, you just learn where they're all from.
All right. Let's go ahead and put a bow on the show. Zach, you're back. You're back from a big trip. Yep. You got any final thoughts for us? Any reports from the sea?
No, had a good week. It was my 39th week at where I go, and it was great. Ate a lot of seafood, spent a lot of time on the beach. My kids managed to get me sunburnt the last day. I managed to not be burnt until then, but they dragged me in the water for about 4 hours. So I couldn't get back. I literally couldn't get back in.
Did you get sunburnt and they didn't?
They didn't, because they were taking shifts. So one of them would go in and then leave me out there. And my youngest was like, "You doing all right, Dad?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm real tired, buddy." He's like, "Okay." And just trying, he just jumped back into another wave. And like, the surf is just enough at where we go. It's not like the Gulf. It's rough. You can lose a kid. Like, we lost 3 pair of goggles. They just get knocked off a kid's head and just disappear. And one day, literally, if you just let yourself float in the water, you would go probably like 100 yards and probably like 90 seconds down the beach. So you had to I had to stay out there to keep an eye on the kids. But they had a good time. And so it was,
I mean, if they get swept out to sea, they would have a story to tell.
Yeah, eventually. And there was like, and there've been some like shark sightings recently. I saw a stingray with my drone. That was my favorite thing to do every day, as I broke the drone out and got some killer shots. And played around. So yeah, it was a good vacation. I literally just like moved to Ohio, rolled it right into that. I was only home for like 60 hours between the two. And so.
So one other thing we have here is that this is the birthplace of Wilbur Wright, who discovered, you know, he's the first. He and his brother Orville were the first in flight. They built the first airplane and flew the first airplane. Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, is not far. Do y'all ever go to Kitty Hawk and check that out?
I've never been to Kitty Hawk.
I would go. In my first year I went, I'd be like, I got to check out Kitty Hawk.
Okay, first of all, the first time I went, I was one.
I know, but I'm saying it would be, as an adult, I'd be like, we're going.
But here's the thing is, like, I've talked, there's a battleship in Wilmington in North Carolina is there, and I want to take my kids out. But, like, we have evolved this trip into the point where we don't go anywhere. Like, my vacation is get up, eat a bowl of cereal. I took a picture of my breakfast. My breakfast one day was Fruit Loops and chocolate covered donuts, and there might have been a chocolate chip cookie that was in there too that didn't get seen. You go out to the beach till from like 9:30 to about noon. You wander back in, fix yourself usually a deli meat sandwich with some chips, more cookies. We had Oreo, we had regular Oreos, we had golden Oreos, and we had Nutter Butters.
It's golden Oreos.
Golden Oreo. I'll tell you what, you really get two, regular Oreo and Nutter Butter. Eat them at the same time. You got peanut butter chocolate. That's some jam. I was on vacation.
You and I vacation completely differently. Because when I go on vacation, I've got a base camp, and then I will drive 2 hours each way on day trips from there. So, I'm seeing the country. And you're like, sit my ass on the beach.
Then we're right back out to the beach until like, usually 3:30 or 4, depending on where we're going to eat, because we got to eat every night. We didn't fix any meals in the house. And so we used to, like, on Tuesdays when my parents, when I was a kid, my parents would go into Wilmington. We might go with them. We might go do the battleship. There's a spot called the Pilot House that we'd always eat lunch and stuff. And at a certain point, we're just like, man, it'd be fun to be on the beach right now. And so we just don't go anywhere but the beach. Except to like, if it rains, you go shopping, and there's like 5 local stores. This place used to be called Mayberry by the Sea, was this nickname when I was a kid. The population of this island was 10,000 people, of actual people. It was 100,000 in the summer, with tourists and stuff coming out. It's probably more than that, though. They've really developed it a lot, but still just single family dwellings for the most part. So yeah, we don't go anywhere. If I want to get my kids to the battleship, I'm going to start showing up a day or two early, and I'll get them to do that stuff while we're there. But before we get onto the island, we don't go anywhere. It's like my vacations are the same as my state park trips. When we go camping, or we go to Mid-Ohio. When we went to Mid-Ohio,
you never leave.
On Thursday, I never left the property.
I was exactly
we went
the
to
same.
Prophetstown State Park. I never left the property. And my wife will always leave the property because she will find a Walmart. But my goal on Topsail, except to go to some restaurants that are off the island nearby in Sneed's Ferry, I don't leave the area. That's my goal. I do nothing.
Hunter, are you a vacation roamer or a vacation planter?
What do you mean by that?
Do you day trips on your vacation, or do you just, you're on vacation and I'm going to sit in my beach chair? That's where I want to be.
Actually, I'm kind of, you know, burnt out of vacations right now. I mean, you know, I'm burnt out of the beach. You know, going to the beach don't even sound fun to me. It's the same stuff every time. But me and Alexis, we're gonna hit the Grand Canyon this, you know, probably October. I want to do stuff like that right now. You know, I don't have kids or anything like that. Yeah, maybe, you know, one day if I have kids, maybe going to the beach would be fun again. But for now, you know, anything to do with the ocean, water, stuff like that, you know, it's just so typical, you know. No offense.
When I go on other trips, I usually will be somewhere and go out and around. Like, we go to Tennessee, and I'll take the camper, and I'll be running around all day. This vacation is not that vacation. And it's also, it's not me and four people. It's us. We had
You've got 15, 16 people.
And we had five houses. So it was us. God. There were seven in our house. The Waldens were there. Jerry Walden, Councilman Jerry Walden was there, and he had his grandkids there. And so there were eight in his house, another eight in another house. So I bet we had probably 25 or 30 people. Some of them I don't see except for there. They live in North Carolina. So I'd sit down and just chat up some people I don't get to talk to. We solve all the world's problems. So
yeah, when I go to, like, you know, Puerto Rico, for instance, I hit the whole island because I stay in a different hostel every single night. You know, I don't stay in hotels. I stay in hostels. It's a little weird when I first started doing it. You know, I'm sleeping in a room with, you know, somebody from Oregon and somebody from, you know, Bulgaria. Yeah, I don't even know who they are.
Yep.
And but it's like $4 a night. So you hit the deep sea fishing, you know, I mean, deep, you know, all that stuff costs a lot down there because it is, you know,
touristy.
Island. Yeah,
that's
yeah,
their big thing, but you can find reasonable accommodations.
But it's, you know, you stay in a place for $4 a night. You know, plane tickets are dirt cheap to go. Yeah, round trip tickets are dirt cheap to go there and back. It's, you know, you save money on the tickets, you know, and the hostels and the, you know, food's cheap down there. But it's all the touristy, you know, activities is what, you know, takes up a bunch of portion of that. So I never stay in the same spot when I go on vacation. I kind of plan it out where I'm hitting, you know, 6-7 different cities, you know, within wherever I'm going.
Yep. I think you and I are pretty similar. We're it's road trip mode. You've got just crazy numbers of map dots on the vacation. Zach, is there anything else in your final thoughts before we wrap up?
Nope.
All right. Hunter, I hope you've enjoyed it.
Yeah, I've had a good time. I mean, I'm just glad you asked me to be a part of it. This is my first podcast. You know, I've watched podcasts before, you know, Jocko, you know, some Joey Molineros, and, you know, some podcasts, Joe Burrows, and all that stuff.
I know what company you work for. I wore my Jocko Willink shirt for you.
Yeah, Jocko's a big, you know, part of IFS.
This is one of his shirts.
Yeah, that's
I wore it just for you.
Jocko's a, you know, sometimes I'll head to an appointments list some Jocko Willing, and I'm ready to rip my steering wheel off. You know, he gets me fired up. But I've had a good time. You know, laugh. You know, anytime you're sitting around talking with some cool guys, laughing's a pretty good time. And definitely, you know, hope to be back, you know, sometime. But other than that, you know,
anything to promote? How do people reach out if they want to say, hey, Hunter, I need you to look in my crawl space and figure this out. How do they hit you up? How do you want people contacting you?
You can contact me on my work phone at 765-577-9846. Anything to do with moisture in the basement, bowing walls, you know, settled concrete, foundation issues, crawl space issues, or if you even want me to come out and do a general evaluation, I'll come out and check everything for you, you know, if you're noticing issues or something like that. Or you can reach me at hunter.kirk. That's KIRK at IndianaFoundation.com. I'd be more than grateful to, get with you and get in touch with you and find out a time that, you know, is convenient for the both of us, and we'll go from there.
And you've got a special coupon code. If they show a picture of you and Joseph Newgarden together, 5% off.
10.
10% off. There you go.
Coming out of Ewart's cut.
It's coming right out of Ewart's money.
I hope Aaron didn't hear that.
I hope he did. D-Square, you said you got a story to tell.
Yeah, I have a little story to tell. So I listened to a podcast. We were just talking about these. This guy was actually on Jocko's podcast. His name is Andrew Huberman. So I've been listening to Andrew Huberman's podcast for a long time. He is a neuroscientist at Stanford University, a tenured professor there. Ooh. And it's a really good podcast. He covers all kinds of topics, and he does really deep dives into things. Sometimes he'll have guest experts on. He did a really deep dive podcast into basically sleep, and it was a pretty good one. And he outlined his sleep cocktail. So basically supplements to take and things to do before going to sleep. And they were kind of obvious things. One of them was like, obviously you don't want to drink caffeine after 2 p.m.
I was going
to
say
whatever.
2 p.m.
Come yeah.
on. Half pot of coffee, a bowl of Cheerios, and then just hit the sack.
And so he, one of his recommendations, which I did last night, was I followed all of these. My goal was follow these recommendations and then also take these sleep supplements and see how it goes. Just see what happens. And so no caffeine, usually around, actually around 2:30 to 3, I will drink a small cup of coffee, like an actual 8-ounce cup of coffee. And to power through the rest of the evening, I'd skipped that. Audrey made like a sausage gnocchi thing, and one of his recommendations is eat your carb-heavy meal in the evening for dinner because carbs help release serotonin, which also helps drive melatonin in the brain. And then also look at the sun before you head in the evening. So if you want to look at the sun setting, that helps your
mentally
brain.
Mentally tell yourself it's time to be done.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So do you have a sleep score? Is this where this is going?
Yeah, and I'm going to get to that. And then these are the supplements, which is magnesium, theanine, apigenin, glycine, GABA.
Did you forget the snake oil? You're supposed to take some snake oil, too.
These are all just those supplements. And then I also took like a half of a gram of melatonin, which is I found a supplement that has all these things in it, and okay. It also includes the melatonin. So I took that and did all the recommendations. Within 15 minutes of Audrey and I laying down to just watch a TV show, within 15 minutes, I could not physically hold my eyes open. Like, it was that intense. She's like, do you want to change it? And I'm like trying to force my eyes open.
So do you have a sleep score? Do you have a Fitbit sleep score? No.
I didn't track it or nothing. I don't wear a fitness tracker anymore.
Because I just lived life, and I had an 83 the night before, and then last night I had myself an 87.
This would have been 108. It was insane. So then my alarm goes off. My first alarm goes off at 4:17, and I don't hear it at all. I don't hear any of my alarms until Audrey like shakes me awake, and she does that and tells me your alarm's going off, and I can't really wake up. Like, it was the same feeling where I'm trying to open my eyes, but my eyes won't open. Like, I'm lifting my eyebrows, but I'm so tired still. So I shut my alarm off and just went back to sleep because I was so sleepy. And mind you,
so you're saying you skipped the gym today?
Yeah, I did. Mind you, I was asleep before 9 p.m. last night. Like,
so you had a good solid 7 hours.
Yeah, which is my usual. 7 hours is my usual. And so I couldn't do it. I couldn't wake up. And then I actually got called out for work at like 10 till 6. That one actually, I like. Ugh.
That was enough.
Yeah. But the thing is, the rest of the day,
you need to put the sleep tracker on so you can measure this.
Good. I'm not going to be able to do this again, though, because I can't miss the gym like that. I guess I could fall asleep at like 8.
You can figure it out. But you can still track how well you slept. You need data. You need data to support this. You have right now. You have superficial evidence, but you need tangible evidence. So you need to put sleep tracker back on and know.
Here's the.
I just go to bed and wake up.
Impossible.co.
Dakota's always working on himself. He's bulked about 40 pounds in the last 2 years because this is his thing. Fitness, salsa, making salsa.
Yeah.
Growing chickens.
Impossible.co sells the supplement I took. It's not an Andrew Huberman supplement, but they do advertise it as everything that Andrew Huberman talked about. It's on their website.
All right. Final thoughts for me very briefly here. We may be Tuesday. We may be Thursday next week. We'll let you all know as soon as we do. Patrons will know that first. Our guy Kyle Robbins is racing tonight up at Winchester in the USAC Silver Crown Series. USAC Silver Crowns. Dakota gave me no reaction at all. Kyle had a really good car qualifying.
I'm not going to react to you making fun of me.
That's the premise of the show. Fresh engine in his Beast and hoping for big things. So on the pavement, the high banks over in Winchester, we always like support Kyle. So good luck tonight. If we didn't have a show tonight, I'd be in the grandstands in Winchester. With that, we will see you all next week.